Will the House please come to order? Will the members please register their presence by voting?
Speaker, I think we're out of voting machine.
I'm sorry, I apologize. Our voting machine is out of order. Note of explanation there, the people in charge of the maintenance on this machine will be here this evening at 6 o'clock, and I hope to get the problem resolved. We'll have to take a roll call to establish a quorum.
Brown.
Here.
Buchholz.
Here.
Carpenter.
Here.
Chatterton.
Here.
Cotton.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Dankworth.
Here.
Duncan.
Here.
Eliason. Freeman.
Here.
Gardner.
Here.
Greening.
Here.
Guy. Haugen.
Here.
Hayes.
Here.
Kelly.
Here.
Lathine.
Here.
McKinnon.
Here.
Meekins. Miles,
here.
Miller,
here.
Nackack,
here.
Osi,
here.
Osterback,
here.
Parr,
here.
Phillips,
here.
Rode,
here.
Rudd,
here.
Schaefer,
here.
Smith,
here.
Snyder,
here.
Specking, Swanson,
here.
Urien,
here.
Akers,
here.
Byrne,
here.
Bennett,
here.
Bradley,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Thirty-five present, four absent, one vacancy.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, Representatives Eliason and Guy and Specking are excused from the call of the House today. I'll ask that any other absent members be excused on official state business.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Will the members please rise for a prayer by the Reverend Alfred Wakefield.
Of your love and concern for all of us. We thank you. Help us to see you through the lives of others today, and may our lives reflect your presence. Guide us as we turn our thoughts to your wavelength, so that what we want us to be will come through loud and clear by not what we say, but by what we are. May your hand continue its presence over this state of Alaska and over the lives of all of its people. May it declare its dependence upon you and its citizens so reveal your presence that we will not just be heard, but we also will be known by what we are and want to become. Guide us in honoring you so that we can learn how to love all of your children and humbly love and respect ourselves. We ask that what is good will be experienced by all members of this body this day. May we be used as instruments in your hand so we will make this prayer a reality. Thank you for another day. Thank you for the work that is to be done. Thank you for hearing our prayer as you have assured us of your presence when we recall your word when you said, "For where two or three are gathered together, because they are mine, I will be right there among them." Thank you. Amen.
Will the clerk please certify as to the correctness of the journal?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 16th day in House Supplement Number 9.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified by the chief clerk and also House Supplement Number 9.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, at this time I would, on behalf of the Finance Committee, I'd like to waive referral of House Bill 44. I don't think it's necessary under the circumstances.
Hearing no objection, the referral will be waived. Introduction of guests. Are there any guests for introduction to the chamber? Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, the distinction for being the first class to visit the legislature, at least the House, I don't know if anybody's been over to the Senate before, belongs to a group of high school students that are in the gallery today, constituents of Mr. Duncan's and mine. It's the high school English class, and their teacher is Mrs. Carlson.
Are there other guests for introduction? Messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any messages from the Senate?
The Senate accepts the invitation to meet in joint session February 16, 1977 at 3 p.m. to hear the Honorable Ted Stevens, U.S. Senator. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
The Committee on Resources has had House Joint Resolution 11 requesting the U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce to hold a hearing in Alaska on oil tanker safety under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Akers, Urien, Smith, Snyder, Malone, Osterbach, and Bennett. House Joint Resolution Number 11 has no further referral. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 67 relating to the Uniform Land Sales Practices Act under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by Chatterton, Bradley, Parr, Carpenter, Brown, and McKinnon. Signing do not pass unless amended, Hayes. House Bill 67 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services has had House Bill 78 making a special appropriation to the Department of Education for construction at the Seward Skill Center under consideration. The members of the committee report it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, signing Dupass, Byrne, Phillips, Bennett, Parr. Having no recommendation, NACAC, Cotton, OSI, and Chatterton. House Bill 78 has a further referral to Finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions.
House Resolution Number 4 by Rudd, congratulating Jean Elizabeth Demente on her ordination into the Episcopal priesthood.
Rules.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
House Bill Number 117 by Cooper, an act relating to the legislative appropriation process.
Finance.
House Bill Number 118 by Eliason, an act relating to the maximum length of salmon seine vessels and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Judiciary.
House Bill Number 119 by Eliason, an act relating to purse seining and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Judiciary.
House Bill Number 120 by the Judiciary Committee by request, an act relating to election campaigns and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
House Bill Number 121 by Guy, an act making a special appropriation to the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill Number 122 with a transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Alaska Pipeline Commission and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us down to our daily calendar. Mr. Urien. House, please stand at ease. Order. We're down to the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on the daily calendar?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 14 by Bradley, honoring Langhorne A. Tony Motley. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Urien. Hearing no objection, sponsorship will be shown by all members of the House. House Concurrent Resolution Number 14 is before you in second reading. Question is, shall House Concurrent Resolution Number 14 pass the House? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The record show that House Concurrent Resolution Number 14 passed the House unanimously. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill Number 45 by Freeman, Duncan, Eliason, Gardner, Haugen, Miller, Specking, and Swanson, an act relating to employment with the Alaska Marine Highway System.
House Bill Number 45 is before you in second reading. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, unless there are amendments, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill Number 45 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Will the clerk please read House Bill Number 45 in third reading?
House Bill Number 45 by Freeman, Duncan, Eliason, Gardner, Haugen, Miller, Specking, and Swanson, an act relating to employment with the Alaska Marine Highway System.
House Bill 45 is before you in third reading. Mr. Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, this is not, as some people call, a little housekeeping bill. This is sort of a motherhood in the Alaskan flag bill, and I think it would be only fair for me to make some explanation to those members who are not acquainted with what we're trying to accomplish here. In the ferry system, each vessel has two crews. One works opposite the other. And the administration has, in the past, been a little lax in some ways, trying to be accommodating to let the members work out amongst themselves where their change port should be. And a change port is where the job starts. One crew goes off, one man goes off, his replacement comes on. And over the years, there hasn't been too many problems, but gradually over the lately, we have a situation where the change port has become controversial because some members of the system are using it to the disadvantage of others, and it is those people who work for the ferry system who reside in Alaska who are coming out on the short end of the stick. The administration has said that this was something that they could take care of administratively, but they haven't done it. This is an attempt to say, as it simply does, that when you change port, that change port is going to be within the state of Alaska. It doesn't designate any particular community, but it has to be within the state of Alaska. The reason for that is because there's more and more of them moving to Seattle. And since we have a budget here of an overall budget of some close to $40 million for the ferry system, and probably about half of that, I don't remember the exact figures, is subsidy. In other words, the system, like any other highway system, doesn't pay its own way. All the members of the state of Alaska, all the taxpayers, are in effect subsidizing that. And I think as a citizen, it's simply a good business on our part to make every effort that we can to see that that money is spent within the state of Alaska. There's more to it than that. Actually, as I said earlier, the system, as it's being used now, is actually discriminating against the people who live in Alaska. And I think I can give you a good example of that. The system that they use to determine seniority on the Marine Highway System is not based on the amount of time that you worked for this system, but how long you have been within the union, your status in the union. And the administration, by mutual consent with the unions, has allowed the members to kind of work this out amongst themselves. And the way they did it was they said that the man that's senior will determine where the port change will be, and that the man is junior and will determine whether they work 2 weeks, 1 week. So what's happened is that, if I give you an example, and we had an example like this only recently, where one man had worked for the system for 7 years, the other one worked for 7 months. And the man that worked 7 months in the system had seniority in the union, so he determined, because he lived in Seattle, that the port change would be in Seattle. In this case, a gentleman, and happens to be a friend and acquaintance of mine for many, many years, was forced to report to Seattle for work. Well, The port change, the requirements are that the employee, it's his responsibility to show up at his cost at the change port. In this case, the gentleman who had worked for the system for 7 years lived in Alaska, had to get on an airplane, pay his own way, and take an extra day to go to Seattle to report for work. And because of this and many, many instances similar, there is a tendency on the part of the guy to say, well, heck, it's cheaper for me to live in Seattle. And if they're going to force me to change port, it's a lot simpler and cheaper for me to live in Seattle, get on a cab or have my wife drive me down to the ship and change port than it is to get on an airplane and fly from Alaska. This is not an attempt to tell people or force them where they, you know, as far as where they're going to live. It just makes it a little more attractive for them to live in Alaska, and it doesn't allow them to use the rules to discriminate against the people who live in Alaska. So I don't want to draw this out. I just wanted you to understand what we're trying to do. I would call to your attention that I believe Mr. Bradley can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the recommendation out of State Affairs was a unanimous due pass. When the State Affairs had the public hearings on it, they had before the committee the Commissioner of Public Works, the Director of Marine Transportation, the business agent for the Inland Boatman Union, and other employees of the ferry system. Nobody objected. Some of them were very strongly in favor of it. The mildest we got was from Commissioner of Public Works, who had no objection. And as one other thing, I don't know that this is this important, but I would point out to you that the bill is sponsored by all the six members of the Southeastern delegation of the House, and since the ferry is our big thing and our problem, I would hope that you would go along with us, and thank you.
Mr. Urien?
Mr. Speaker, I wholeheartedly concur with what Mr. Freeman is trying to do here, but in reading this, question arose in my mind is, what do we do with those, we do have some Marine Highway employees who are permanently based in Seattle, they sell tickets or whatever, what happens to those people?
Mr. Freeman?
Mr. Speaker, the Commissioner of Public Works didn't seem to think there would be any problem here, and because we make the difference, it's true they, those people that live in there permanently don't have a change port. What we're talking about, when you're talking about change port, this applies only to those crew members of the vessel. And it doesn't apply to ticket agents. They don't have a change port. They're just permanently employed. And so there's it's only the members of the work on the ships that the word change port even applies.
Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, the way I read this, it says, no employee of the Alaska Marine Highway System may be relieved at a duty station or port. I would assume that a duty station was the person who was selling tickets in Seattle.
Mr. Freeman?
Mr. Durian, as he did sometimes, incorrect. Question.
Ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 45 pass the House? The clerk will please call the roll.
Brown?
Aye.
Buchholz?
Yes.
Carpenter?
Yes.
Chatterton?
Yes.
Cotton?
Yes.
Cooper?
Yes.
Dankworth?
Yes.
Duncan?
Yes.
Eliason? Freeman?
Yes.
Gardner?
Yes.
Greening?
Yes.
Guy? Haugen?
Yes.
Hayes? Kelly?
Yes.
Lathine?
Yes.
McKinnon?
Yes.
Meekins?
Yes.
Miles?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Nackack?
Yeah.
Osi?
Yes.
Osterbeck?
Yes.
Parr?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Rode?
Yes.
Rudd?
Yes.
Schaefer?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Specking? Swanson?
Yes.
Urien?
Yes.
Akers? Byrne?
Yes.
Bennett?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Mr. Speaker?
Yes.
36 yeas, no nays, 3 absent, 1 vacancy.
Has any member failed to vote? Does any member wish to change his vote? Will the clerk please announce the totals?
36 yeas, no nays, 3 absent, 1 vacancy.
And so House Bill 45 has passed the House. Brings us to the end of the daily calendar, down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the House?
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Hayes.
We have a brief.
House will please stand at ease.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Lathine.
I have something which I feel is unfinished business. Yesterday, there was an action taken by this body that came rather rapidly, and I wanted to register my objection, and I didn't because it passed by me too quickly. Being a freshman here, I'm not too much aware of the procedures, and that was the pay increase for our employees in the legislature. I feel that we needed some discussion on that matter and a little more clarification from the standpoint of being a freshman legislator. I didn't hear anything here, and I find it a problem in my own mind of paying employees here more than legislators get. So I just wanted to register that objection to this action we took yesterday.
Under unfinished business, Mr. Hayes.
I also would like to express my objection to the motion yesterday that was just mentioned by Mr. McQueen for the same reasons.
I think that those items are probably more properly taken up under special orders. If there is no more unfinished business, we could proceed to special orders. Mr. Miller?
Mr. Speaker, I just perhaps should respond to the question as to procedure. Every man in here votes, of course, and he votes according to what he thinks is right on any given issue, be it a bill or employees' pay schedules. Mr. Speaker, the pay schedule that reference has been made to was not done hurriedly. It was placed on the desk 24 hours in advance so that every member would have the opportunity to look it over. Perhaps from time to time here in the beginning, we've given more emphasis to certain procedures so that everybody is totally aware of them. But I would just say this to the freshman members. That was not in even the slightest sense a hurried thing. If we're going to be, you know, members of this organization, we've got to expedite the business of this organization. The bill was, or I mean, the letter from the Joint Rules Committee, which incidentally had the concurrence of members from both the Democrat and minority caucuses. That piece of paper was laying on every member's desk for 24 hours. The motion was not a hurried motion. In fact, as if I remember my language, I even mentioned the fact that it had been laying on every member's desk for 24 hours. If any member ever has an objection, and of course, if he has an objection, all he has to do is raise his hand, stand up, and the floor is his. But I would just emphasize that we've got to proceed in an orderly, professional, expeditious manner. And when something comes up that you're not in accord with, that is the moment to register your objection. That moment, of course, under special orders, you can always bring up anything you want. But for instance, even the motion to reconsider would be out of order at this time, since the period for reconsideration has passed. So just as a suggestion to freshman members, you frankly just have to be alert, because there's going to be 100, there's going to be 1,000 fast decisions that you as a legislature are going to have to make. You don't have to make them fast, but you have to make the decision not to, you know, go along with it and stand up and be counted at that moment. Otherwise, the decision will be made just right on the spot and moving right along.
Mr. Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to speak on the same matters, and I guess move and ask unanimous consent.
Mr. Bradley, you have the floor.
Thank you. It appears to me this might be sort of a preview of coming attractions, and just so, you know, it's great to be a freshman and to be a great apologist for for that that cadre of our House, but let's remember that both the majority and the minority have their leaders, and in this case, I don't see any germaneness. This is for the purposes, not necessarily the body, but possibly the press, because they've been reporting on some of the dullest action, because it is a little dull around here, and making it to be a great brouhaha when, in fact, it's hardly a ripple. And at least from the we have a very senior member that leads our partisans, the Democrats, in the Representative Mike Miller, and as the minority knows, they have the senior member in the House of Representatives representing them on the floor from Anchorage. So, you know, showbiz is showbiz, and I'm not against that. But I think it should be brought up that, you know, there's really no substance here at this time. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, just a short note. I don't know at what level we should do it, but I think that considering the action of the voters recently, if we were to pay people less than we make, it might be that we couldn't hire anybody.
Mr. Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure that everybody in the House is aware of it, but of course, before the temporary employee's pay schedule can be approved, it has to be approved by both bodies, and you may or may not know that the Senate has gone into somewhat of a stall on the approval of the action of the Joint Rules Committee. It may well be that members of this body will have another chance to take a look at another pay schedule, and at that point, certainly have the opportunity to make objections at that point.
Mr. Swanson.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, just maybe to help some of the freshman legislature, I think that a common motion to rescind would have eliminated all the conversation we're having here now.
Mr. Gardner, then Mr. Miles.
Are we under committee announcements now?
Mr. Gardner, we're under special orders.
Oh, I was hoping we're...
Mr. Miles. House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Before the at ease, we were under special orders. Are there any more special orders? Mr. Lathine?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like for a point of clarification for my own benefit to know if we can go back and rescind a previous action, say like what we took yesterday. Is that possible?
Mr. Lathine, a motion to rescind on a subject is in order when the control of the action has not passed beyond the body. So in this case, I suppose that a motion to rescind on the action of the adoption of the pay scale for temporary employees would be in order. I don't think it's in order under special orders. However, we could entertain that motion there if the person wished to make it.
I would like to make that motion, and I'd like to move that we go back to the unfinished business, and I would like to make that motion.
Mr. Lathine has moved that we move back to unfinished business for the purpose of making a motion. Is there objection? Hearing no objection, we're back under unfinished business. Mr. Urien? House, please stand at ease. Back to order. For the at ease, we move back to unfinished business. Mr. Lathine?
Mr. Speaker, under unfinished business, I'd like to make a motion to rescind our action in regards to the Rules Committee report on increase of legislative employees' salaries.
Okay.
May I request also a roll call vote on that?
The motion is, shall the House rescind its action in approving the temporary, the pay scale for temporary employees? A roll call vote has been requested, but I'm not sure that there's evidence on the part of the body they want a roll call vote. On that basis, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The motion has failed to pass the House. The action is not rescinded and it stands. Is there any more under unfinished business? Special orders? Announcement of committee meetings.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary Committee will meet at 3 o'clock today on House Bill 27, removing the exemption of bank and financial institutions from the antitrust law.
Mr. Parr?
Mr. Speaker, the House Committee will meet at 3 o'clock with the Senate House Committee in the Senate House Committee room, which is 106 of the Assembly. And we meet briefly with the parents involved in the correspondence study, about 20 minutes. Then we come back to our normal committee room and take up House Bill 65 on the Interstate Corrections Compact.
Mr. Speaker. Mr. McKinnon?
Congress will meet tomorrow morning at 8:30 on House Bill 29, State Charter Credit Union.
Mr. Brown?
Mr. Speaker, the House Labor Management Committee will meet tomorrow at 8 o'clock to consider House Bill 104 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to certificates of residency. And this is a somewhat controversial bill. We really will only have about a half hour for hearing from the administration and others regarding it, because three of us then immediately have to go to House Commerce. So I'd appreciate if the members could be there on time and anticipate that we may continue the meeting in the afternoon.
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, the Community and Regional Affairs Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock and take up House Bill 66, the Community Legal Assistance Fund.
Mr. Miles.
Mr. Speaker, there'll be a majority caucus tomorrow, not today on adjournment. It was originally scheduled for today, but it will be held tomorrow on adjournment.
Representative Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, the House Finance Committee will meet at 1:30 this afternoon in the Governor's Conference Room, not the House Finance Committee meeting room. The administration will there discuss the revenue projections that they see coming up for the next fiscal year.
Mr. Bradley?
Mr. Speaker, House Commerce Day at 1 p.m. We'll be hearing House Bill 93, 94, 95, Representative Miles, dealing with Alaska State Housing Authority, and that's supplanting what was hoped to take place today, the DOT discussion. The DOT bills and the Executive Order 39 are going to be postponed until Friday because the administration is all out of town.
Mr. Byrne?
Mr. Speaker, a number of the members have asked for a brief meeting regarding the malpractice problem that faces us. So I've arranged for Dr. David Beal from Anchorage to meet with any interested members immediately following this House session, immediately on adjournment, up in the Governor's Conference Room. So everybody's invited, and he'll be available. It'll be a short session. Should be interesting. Thank you.
Mr. Urien.
Speaker, today at noon, the Republican luncheon, all members are cordially invited. The speaker of the day is our own Representative Chatterton.
Mr. Parr?
Mr. Speaker, I apologize to the House, but I forgot to announce that also on today's calendar for Hess is House Concurrent Resolution Number 7, which requests judicial counsel to investigate the prison system.
Mr. Brown?
Mr. Speaker, I would like the members of the Select Committee on Telecommunications just to contact me informally sometime during the day regarding some of our activities later in the week and next week.
Mr. Miller?
Speaker, very minor correction for the record. I think Representative Bradley meant that the State Affairs Committee would be meeting on the bills he mentioned rather than Commerce. I think it's probably a little throwback to the last session. Mr. Speaker, if there's no further business to come before the body, I'll move and ask unanimous consent. We stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There are no objections.